Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Last time on the Electric State, Operation Firewall, we met our four main characters. Daniel, a single father on a mission to save his daughter from the Neuroscape. Elias, a mechanic who can fix nearly everything, except for what matters most. Emma Jane, a woman with a sharp tongue and a thirst for information, and an addiction she would rather keep buried. Vincent, a man who is always ready to push the limits and doesn't know his own. They all got the call. It's the big one. Happy Cool. And that is where we see them now, outside of the National Security Enforcement Division building, a.k.a. NSED. We see you guys. All four of you have eventually made your way there. Who is the last one there?
I would say it would definitely be Vincent, as he kind of is rushing by, kind of straightening his shirt, kind of tucking in his pants. He's running, "Oh, I'm here, guys. Sorry, I fell asleep. The alarm, you know, didn't go off."
"Glad you made it, Vincent. I knew that you would be here. We got Emma Jane here. Emma Jane, this is Vincent, if you don't know him already."
"Oh, that's Vincent. Small world, huh?"
"Oh, nice to see you again, Emma Jane."
"And this here's Elias, Vincent, Emma Jane."
"I see you keeping that carriage in one piece, Vinny."
"Hey, it's only held together by your surefire work. And hey, anyway, with this, I got myself this pink slip off a fella. I think that might cover some of the repairs you've been making."
"You know you got your tabs covered. Don't worry about that."
"Oh, you're a saint. Lies, you're a saint."
"Is that you, Miss Emma? I haven't seen you in some time."
"You know, I didn't think I'd be seeing you two in the same room again." And she sort of points between Daniel and Elias, and then she'll shrug. "But I'm glad that we are. I'm glad that this is a solid team." And she'll nod at Daniel. "Strong."
"Yeah. I despite previous tension, I want the best of the best for this team, because I want to make sure that this goes in our favor. I think this should be good for everybody involved. Shall we?"
"After you."
So you guys are standing outside of this building. Now, this building doesn't really advertise what it is from the outside. It kind of looks like this decommissioned post office, brick walls faded to like a dull rust, barred windows, an Apache government seal barely visible under the grime. There's no signage, no flag. But as you guys walk inside, it's a little bit colder, harsher. The fluorescent lights buzz overhead, kind of flickering in place as you guys are making your way, you know, down this hallway. Floors are concrete. There are cameras, though. As soon as you guys get in, cameras all along the walls. And you see a single steel emblem of the SRDA hangs behind a front desk, and three wings forming a triangle surrounded by the motto, "Stability before sentiment." And the NSED wing is past two lock checkpoints. You guys have to go through a retinal scan as well. There's no windows, no clocks, just kind of these silent corridors you guys are walking. What is everybody thinking? Is it looks a lot more official as you guys head inside.
Vincent can feel himself get a little tense. This doesn't seem like a nice corporate building. This seems almost like a jailhouse. Kind of nervously glances at the camera, at the saying stability before sentiment. Nervously glances at Daniel just to see what his reaction is. He's probably sure about this, right?
I think as you look at Daniel, he doesn't have like his usual smile on his face. He just has like a eyes open, stern look, like shoulders forward, pushing forward, very much wanting to like talk to these people, get this done and over with, and get this job moving. I think Daniel would probably be like walking out in front of you guys, just trying to like hurry up and get to the room.
Elias is definitely sauntering in the back. Not a fan of corporate buildings, and definitely looks at every security camera, tilts his head, nods, and just follows behind with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah, Emma Jane sort of holding her backpack sort of tighter to her body as she sort of goes in. She stops for a second when she sees the stability over sentiment motto. Sort of shakes her head and continues on. Tries to hide her flinch from the retina scanners because it's so bright.
Can you believe someone got paid to make that slogan up?
And it'll be more money than we'll ever see.
Yeah, call it made up money.
And you guys continue along the hallway, and eventually you get to the NSAID wing and the room that Mr. Calloway told you to meet him at, Daniel. You walking in first?
Yes. Yeah, I walk in, hold the door for everybody, but just like look at Mr. Calloway, give a nod and say, "Hello there, Mr. Calloway. This is going to be our team for the job. We got Vincent here. He's going to be our driver.
How'd he do?
We got Emma Jane. She's here for information, connections. Emma, I'll let you give any other information. And we've got Elias here. He's good with his hands, good with machines."
I will accept that compliment.
And so as you say hello to him, he turns his back. It's just like this man, late 50s, built like a retired linebacker, you know, gone lean. He has short gray hair, buzz tight, these deep set eyes, kind of dark and steady as he's kind of like scanning you all. Very serious gentleman, but doesn't look mean, but doesn't look like he has smiled in the past 10 years. He's dressed in a simple tan field jacket with the SRDA patches stitched in there. No medals, no flair. You can see he's like creased. He's still wearing like fatigue pants. He has these polished boots. One of his sleeves is rolled up. You reveal like a neural interface scar in one of his arms. He stands behind a metal desk. There's no chair behind it. And he's just standing there. And he says, name's Marshal Elias Calloway, Southern Republic Defense Agency. And you guys head inside. There are like, there's a large table, there's a few desks. He says, you all can have a seat.
Emma Jane will take the one closest to the door.
Well, Vincent will sit down, kind of begin to recline in his seat, and then quickly snap up as he realizes it's not the place.
Daniel will sit down and kind of like put a hand on your chair and kind of like sit it down a little bit just as you're starting to like catch yourself.
Oh, thank you, Daniel.
Just relax.
Elias casually sits down. His right leg jittering just a little bit.
Now I trust in Mr. Collins here that you all have been pulled because you're useful, not because you're clean. Everyone in this room's got baggage. I'm not here to unpack it. Understood? Your objective is simple on paper. And he has like this old-timey projectors that were big in the 90s before you can like easily, you know, blast into the screen. It's like those large, what are they called? They look like huge like computers. Those old projectors where you can put like the sheets on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Middle school screen projector.
Yeah,
I forgot what they're called. Projectors. You know what. He puts the logo down for Happy Cool. And you see a smiling yellow head with the logo Happy Cool. He goes, a company called Happy Cool is merging with Century in 7 days. You know the name. They make brain candy for kids. Games. Learning modules, they call them. A whole new line of Mode 6 neurocasters. But trust me, it is not entertainment. It's programming. With this merger, Happy Cool will be even more powerful. And this time, they'll have the entire backing of Century to get their new tech out on the streets. What you're going to do is stop this rollout quietly. We can't make a public move or risk open war between Pacifica and the Republic. And that's where you come in. You'll drive west to Pacifica. Along the way, you'll find an infiltration point. You'll breach their substation, extract the necessary data, and destroy the backup before the merger finalizes. You'll be carrying tech that doesn't officially exist. You'll be encountering resistance that doesn't officially exist. And if you're caught, I think you understand where I'm going with this. You don't officially exist either. Kind of scans the group and lets it hang for a beat. Questions?
Something funny, my man. Nah, it's just you're asking four people to go and cause some trouble for two big old companies. That's just wild.
It's wild, sir, but I've seen more done with less. So it's possible.
That I can agree with. It's just, sorry, I apologize if I was a bit unprofessional. Just haven't had a good chortle in some time. Forgive me.
I'm glad somebody can laugh during these times. And he's just like completely serious face.
Speaking of doing more with less, you mentioned that some of this equipment doesn't exist. What would we be transporting?
You're not transporting anything, son. What do you
mean? That's a relief. Okay. I was worried. The cab space is not, it's big, but it's not that big.
You'll be carrying tech that doesn't officially exist. We'll be providing that for you, but you're not transporting anything, sir.
Oh, good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, I got a question. She'll sort of raise her hand, uses her other hand to put it down. The pay. But what's in it for us?
I mean, the pay is good, of course. As soon as you get the job done, it will be transferred to your bank account.
But, and that's on your word?
It's on my word. It's on the word of the, of NSAID as well.
And I just want to make crystal clear. We'll have access, inside info, a Happy Cool, correct?
Inside access. Your job isn't to get inside access for Happy Cool specifically. You get the information that we need to stop this merger. Anything outside of that is not part of the objective.
Understood. Thanks.
You'll be looking for a prototype. It's a package tied to their Mode 6 integration. That's all you'll be getting. If you have any side missions or your own personal goals, you wait till this is over.
Speaking of personal goals, mostly of the financial nature, I trust your word as a Boy Scout, but can I get just a little bit up front of what we should be paid, you know, just to help get our journey started?
We'll provide you with basic field pack, some rations, burner phones, but that's what we'll be providing up front.
Oh, gotcha.
With all due respect, sir, we haven't worked with you either. So we can't just be giving money to strangers.
Yeah, sorry, not to make it a charity case. Sorry, I just figured might as well at least skim a little bit off the top to get started.
Unfortunately, that's not how it works in the government, sir.
Gotcha.
Speaking of the government, I can't imagine that they will just keep this open and vulnerable for us to just go and snatch like a hen in a hen house. I imagine there's going to be some obstacles that will impede us.
Of course.
Do you have any information on what sort of guard fence they're going to have up?
They got firewalls built by Century, probably hybrid coated with something homegrown. Word is they're using a ghost net, partial mind mapping defenses. Don't plug in unless you're sure is what I'm saying.
I'm a little more hands-on than needing any sort of that sort of nonsense, but good to know what to come across. I thank you. One Elias to another.
Of course, sir.
When we get our hands on this equipment, you said you want us to retrieve it, or you want it destroyed?
We want this information destroyed, of course. Preferably, you would bring it back here, we would destroy it, but if anything happens, a plan B is to get the job done there.
Very well.
Well, if there are no other questions, I'll let you know that once you go on the road, your civilian comms, your communications, your cell phones, all that will go dark. No calls home, no check-ins. We have to secure the lines. No trace, no leaks. So if there's anything left unsaid, you say it tonight. Get your affairs in order. We don't have much time. You set out tomorrow morning, Highway 290 westbound. Do you all understand the objective? As he looks at all four of you.
Grab the prototype and only the prototype. Seems easy enough.
He nods at you.
Well, I would like to thank you, Mr. Collins, for such a great opportunity. And the reference.
Like I said, I think you'll be good for this job. Hopefully, we won't have any problems. And Daniel will look to the rest of the group. Is everybody on board?
Seems like a clear-cut paycheck. I mean, should go smooth.
I think I can pencil this in.
Fuck it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thank you all for your service. You can take these for your notes. And he lays down like a manila folder. Mr. Collins, I'll leave this to you. You can head out to the front desk, pick up all the items I mentioned.
Daniel will take the folder, just take a quick peek, close it, kind of put it under one arm, and then extend his hand to shake Mr. Calloway's and say, we appreciate you considering us for this job, and we won't let you down.
Listen, Mr. Collins, if we can get this, if this can be a successful mission, then the merger fails, the tech gets buried, and maybe we buy this country another year.
For the health of the South Republic.
And remember, you contact me if anything goes awry.
Don't worry, you'll be hearing from us. Hopefully, we won't have any issues.
Okay then, everybody. Good luck. I'll see you all in the morning. And he kind of just nods at you and walks out the door.
So, get whatever you need to get done today, like you said. I got at least one thing I got to take care of before tomorrow. Vincent, should we meet at your place?
I've moved around so much, you know, it'd be a hassle to try to navigate to where it's now, you know, just... It's so crowded. You know, the front of this building, perfect. Like, the curbside parking is great. I bring the Rover around, give her a nice cleaning, and we can all just get going from there.
Oh, make sure you haven't done anything to it since I last saw it.
Do you want me to bring it to your shop, or do you want to look at it when we all meet up?
I mean, unless we have to meet here, I don't mind if people want to meet up by the shop, and I can give it a once-over right before it hits the road.
That would be perfect. And you know what you could do also was maybe tune it up a bit, you know? There's a little bit of this rattling in the AC that I've been meaning to get fixed.
Well, I've told you to stop eating candy by the front dash.
I'm telling you, it's some kind of treat that Rhonda has, and when she's munching, you never know where the crumbs go.
The dog ate my homework on my ass. All right. I'll take a look at it.
Oh, thank you again, Elias. You're the best.
Yeah, yeah.
I think before Vincent leaves, maybe as he's sort of like getting into his car, like she'll shut the door so he can't quite leave yet.
Well, I know. Ooh. I know we're gonna meet up at the workshop. There's no need to hop in just right now. And anyway, the slot's closing in about 30.
Yeah, no, it's just you've been ignoring my calls.
Oh, I mean, you know, there was the race, and you know, things just kind of blurred together. But you know, we're here now. I don't have to listen to those messages. What'd you need me for,
Vincent? She'll sort of like lean in, sort of closer, so she can speak quieter. Look, I know since you lost your job, it's been tough for you to get the product, right?
I'm not sure what you mean. You know, I just ferry people around. I don't know about any product.
All I'm saying is you just forget about what I came to you for, why I need it. Listen, well, this group, I have... There's history, you know?
Yeah,
and
but...
They don't trust me as it is. I'm here because I'm useful. We're all here because we're useful, but... It's no secret that I've built somewhat of a reputation. I want to know if you know, thinking about mentioning...
I always tell Daniel what's on my mind, and you know, but you know, when I gamble a bit and play the slots for a little too long, things slip my mind here and there. But you know, I'm running a little low on cash today, so having a little extra time might clear a few memories out of the way, and I might just neglect.
Do you think $500 would be enough to keep your silence till the end? Until I can make a break from this group, I mean.
500.
What a money.
I mean, it's skimming it. You know, this is a pretty big deal. It's a big contract, too. I mean, you're sure to get a lot from this job. You sure 500?
1,000. Half now, half at the end.
You can see his eyes kind of dilate and his throat kind of go in. Yeah. 1,000. That just about covers it, I think.
I'm sure it does. Vincent, you don't fuck me over, right?
Oh, I would never.
It's gonna have to be good enough.
Yeah, with $1,000, my lips are sealed. And he'll kind of draw his fingers across the lips.
She'll take her weight off the door and just nod once at him to let him go before she swings her bag up over her shoulder.
And you know what, Emma? You know, working logistics, some of the evidence may have found its way into my glove compartment. So if you ever fancy to hit me up again, I'm here. And he'll kind of climb into his car.
She stops walking and just sort of turns her head.
He'll kind of raise his hand out the window and kind of wave while looking out the side mirror.
Keep it safe for me, yeah? And she'll do like a little...
I always do. And he'll start up and pull away.
Okay. Who would like to go first?
I could probably do a scene with contacting Ashley.
You want it? Okay. So you call her?
Yeah. As she answers the phone, mm-hmm. I'll just quickly say, you've been causing trouble for the people at the care facility.
Daniel... no, hello? No, how are you doing?
No, I'm pissed.
Chivalry is dead.
Chivalry my ass. You're going in there telling people that you're trying to get custody of Julia when she's already been taken away from me to be put into that damn facility. And now you're going in there telling her that it's okay to be in those fucking neuroscape.
Wow. See, this is why I think you're a danger to our daughter. You're so quick to anger.
Don't you dare say that I'm a danger to our daughter. you're part of the reason why she's in this state that she is. She thinks it's okay because her mother is addicted to the damn neurocasters. It's not okay.
Addicted. I don't like these words you're using. I'm not addicted. And neither is Julia. There is nothing wrong with that girl. And now what are we supposed to be raising? A young woman who's going to be insecure and her daddy telling her that she has these issues and telling all these lies about her mama? Wow. I'm just disappointed, Daniel.
Just listen for once in your god's damned life. Let Julia go through this care facility so that she can get weaned off of the damn neurocaster and quit trying to influence her, telling her that it's okay. She's wasting away.
Excuse me, you did not hold that girl in your own body for 9 months. I did all the work. You don't understand. And then after I had her, you know I went through a hard time and you just clocked out. And now you want me to stop being her mother.
I didn't say that. And you're right. I should have spent more time with you and with Julia. I spent too much time working at Sentry. It became my whole life. And now I'm trying to correct that. But I can't correct it, and I can't help Julia if you're working against me.
Listen, I think it's just a little too late, Daniel. You had your chance, and we found something that makes us happy. And unfortunately, it is not you. And she hangs up.
That is low. And I just like squeezing the phone in rage. I just kind of sit down and squeeze my eyes and think that's about all that I can do. Hopefully she will take it to heart, but there's nothing more to be said.
Is there anything else you would like to do or go or anyone else you would like to talk to?
I think the only other thing that I would probably do before leaving is just check in on Julia and just make sure she's okay.
Would you call the facility?
I think I'd probably stop in there and see if I could just see her, even if she's in the neurocaster.
You make your way there and you feel like... like you just left, but you feel like you're here all the time. And you head in, and it is kind of that time that they give the kids to wear them for about an hour. And you know that the hour is just about up. So it's about 5 minutes left before that kind of neurocaster time is almost over.
If the care facility lets me, I'll try to go into her room and just kind of sit beside her.
So everybody is in a room together. So it's all these kids wearing the headsets and they're hooked up to neurocasters, kind of sitting down in a wide circle. And you can see it from a large window. And you see a male nurse walks up to you. Sir, did you sign in? I'm just checking. I don't see a visitor's badge on you.
Oh, no, I was just coming to see my daughter real quick.
Of course, we just need you to get that visitor's badge, sir.
Right, yeah, I can do that.
You go with him. Yeah, he kind of walks with you, and you go get the badge, and you hear, a clatter and, a loud noise coming from that room.
I'm starting to sign the papers. I'm kind of is everything okay in there?
As you're going to say that, you see two security guards, and then one of them has a jacket on them, and then another one you can see is holding a syringe as they're about to enter into the room. And the male nurse is like, "Oh, I'm one of the kids is probably acting up. They're gentle. Don't worry. They're just, you know, for everybody's safety."
Can I have my badge?
Yep. Yeah. Here you go. Here you go, sir. Thank you.
I'll run over there to try and get a peek and just see if, well, mostly just if Julia's okay.
Yeah. So you head in there. A lot of the kids have like taken it off. There are some that are taking a little bit longer. You go inside and see that Julia has like crashed her neurocaster on the ground, and she's like raging against one of the female nurses as she's trying to get her calmed down. She's like, "Julia, please, please calm down." And your daughter is just like raging out right now. She's screaming that she wants more time, that she doesn't want to leave. And you could see her. She just got a wild look in her eye.
I'm going to run into the room. If the security guards are trying to grab her, I'm going to try to push past them and try to grab her.
Okay.
More in a hug, not like to restrain her necessarily. Right.
You're trying to push past these guards. Can I get you to roll a strength roll for me?
Yes.
As you're trying to break through.
Oh. Looks like one success.
Yay.
One success. You're able to push one of the guards out of the way. One of them is still, like, he's still trying to reach. So you still have that one. And he's like, sir, we need you to back away for your own safety.
This is my daughter.
Sir, we have protocol, sir. And you try to break through, and Julia's looking at you. Dad, please, I just want more time.
Julia, it'll be okay.
Her head is about to kind of snap back against the female nurse who's holding on to her. And you can see it, like the whip about to happen. You can try to stop it.
I'll try to put my hand back there as best I can. Try to, like, catch her head if I can.
Yes, so it'll be an agility roll as you're trying. You're seeing the head coming back to snap back.
Okay. On four dice, that's zero successes.
Oh, would you like to push?
Great. I will push that.
Okay.
Oh. Still zero successes.
And with no successes, the back of her head, like you can hear the crunch of her skull go back into the female nurse's head. An explosion of blood bursts from her nose. And Julia is still thrashing. "I just want more time. I just want more time. Please, please." And you can see the other guard, he's coming in with the syringe.
I'm still trying to like grab her at least with one arm if I'm able to.
Yeah, you're able to hold on to her. There's still that one security guard there's one who had like a straight jacket, one who has the syringe. You got the one with the straight jacket off, so you can hold on to Julia, but you weren't able to catch the head in time.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of keep my arm around her and just kind of try to talk softly into her ear, just say, "It's gonna be okay, Jules. It's gonna be okay. We just needed to relax."
And the syringe goes in to her arm. And she's just breathing hard, and then her head falls onto the front of your chest.
"I'm sorry, Jules. I know. I'm gonna make this better, I promise. It'll be okay. Just give your daddy a few more days."
And we fade to the next person.
Oh, man. Fuck it. I'll go next.
I got to follow that.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it.
What would you like to do? How are you getting your affairs in order?
It's the evening now?
It's getting there. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Before the people get out of work around like 5 o'clock, I think Elias is going to head over to a different mechanic shop. He would not normally do this, but he's going to go over to, we'll call it the pit stop.
He
wants to get this job done for the older couple before he leaves.
Right.
And he's just going to go see if he can negotiate the part himself.
So you head in. His name is Billy Joel. He's inside. Big, hefty guy, hefty fella, as you get inside. He's like, oh, hey there. Hey there, friend. We're about to close up. You need anything?
Billy, it's,
Yeah.
it's me, Elias.
Yeah, Elias, Bonnie. Haven't seen you in a second, Mr. Bonnie. Hey there, stranger.
Listen, I'm going to be leaving town for a while. I got some work for some big wig folk, and I want a proposal for you. He's shuffling with his hands.
Yeah, I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
I need to finish a job for someone. I know you got some extra brake pads. If I can have those, if I could just get a pair from you, I can leave a sign at my shop to go to you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I need those brake pads. I got a couple jobs coming in this week and next week, specifically.
Listen, you know what I'm good for.
Yeah.
Let's be real. I know times is hurting, and I don't know how long I'm going to be, so I would send all my people to you. I really want to get this done before I leave.
I gotta keep
my word on this. You understand that.
I understand. I know. If anything, I understand, but you understand this is a business. I have to keep my words just as much as you do. And I will ask you to roll.
Sure.
Try to get him to open up a little bit more, to see your side of things.
Oh, wits. Okay.
I'm trying to convince him, yeah.
All right.
Nice.
I think for this success, what is it, two? Two successes.
Okay.
I think how that manifests is,
mm-hmm.
Elias sees a pickup truck sort of sitting in the bay.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of steam coming out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Billy,
yeah.
I don't like to reveal Bonnie Brother secrets, but having trouble with that radiator on that Ford.
he looks over. No, that's been giving me trouble for the past couple hours.
Tell you what, I'll show you one of my tricks. Free of charge, and you just give me those brake pads, and I'll send you recommendations. Saves you a headache, and trust me, a lot of fucking money.
Okay. You know, you're right, you're right. I know what the issue is. I can't hack it, you know what I mean? And yes, it would cost about $500 to get that thing fixed.
I will spare you $500 right here. God is my witness.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Okay. Okay, you got yourself a deal. Just give me the information of the fella, who needs help, and send him my way.
Oh, he gives the name of Mr. Kurt, and
oh goddamn, not Mr. Kurt.
Yeah, I know he's a hard ass, but just you know what? He already hates me. Just let him rant and rave about me as much as he wants. He not much of a people person, but
you're machines. Fine, Elias. You're great. Gus.
Don't you lie to me.
Mr. Kerr, he sucks. He's just, I don't know. I don't want to be mean. Whatever. Anyway, thanks for your help. Thanks for your help. I really appreciate it. I've been looking at that thing and trying to figure it out for a while.
All you got to do is just got to treat it like a slow dance. You got to, and he spins one of the pipe little wrenches in his hand, and he just gently adjusts some beams.
Yeah.
And now what
you
do is you pour the coolant in as you're spinning it. And then the temperature drops on the engine.
I see. I think I got two left feet. And it wasn't singing for me the way she's singing for you. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You finish that up. I'm gonna close up and do my, you know, get back to the register and do my closing up time, okay? But I thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Billy. No problem, Billy. One mechanic to another.
Okay. As you're going to finish that up, is there anything else you would like to do?
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
You.
Yeah, I think Billy would make his way back to
towards the Bonnie Brothers garage.
Billy Wood?
No, not Billy. No, Jesus, Elias. Elias Wood.
Okay.
He has a little notepad with him that he keeps his jargon notes in, and he starts writing down the names of like the most his regulars,
mm-hmm.
and writing up a letter. Emergency has come up. Bonnie Brothers repair shop will be closed until further notice. Please direct your patronage to the pit stop. We'll mm-hmm. be back soon. God bless. Elias. Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as he's walking towards his shop, he sees a diner.
Yeah.
With the lights on.
Yeah.
And he looks over across the street and he can see a young woman making coffee and
mm-hmm.
talking
mm-hmm.
to a couple of the older folk in the still air, some people getting off work. He fidgets for a moment and he thinks about crossing the street to go over and talk to that waitress and
mm-hmm.
say some words, but he gets about halfway across the street and he stops. And before
you see her, she looks up, her head goes up, and then she sees you.
Shit.
And gives a small wave and then just goes back to working.
Elias does an awkward wave and fuck it. He walks in and he sits at the front and waits to order a hot coffee because he's going to try to tinker with that drone and fix up the truck as much as he can for Mr. Kurt before he crashes for the night. He's a night mm-hmm. owl anyway.
You see, Alice, you know Alice, she makes her way over to you. Elias, hi. I haven't seen you in a while.
Hey,
it's nice to see you.
Good to see you too, Alice.
Can I just say, before you say anything, can I just say, I am so sorry the way Teddy acted a few weeks ago. I'm truly sorry.
I appreciate that. I'm sorry about him. I hope his lip's healing all right.
He's got a mouth on him, and I'm just...
I noticed.
I'm sorry. But here's the thing. You really scared me.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. It's a very tender thing, and I've been trying to do...
I understand.
I've been trying to do some more of them meditations and breathing exercises.
Yeah.
That some of my mama's friends would tell me to do. But
they working out for you?
Sometimes I really tried, and he wanes a very, very touchy spot for me, and
I understand.
I'm sorry that I frightened you.
My daddy was violent, and I just don't like to see it, you know?
Yeah, you have every right to be mad at me, and
I'm not mad, Teddy.
You can be mad at me. It's more than fine. I deserve that.
Teddy deserves a popping in the mouth every now and then, you know. He's
well,
not
if he
from
wants
here.
Another one, he knows where to find a good one.
No. He's out. He's working. He's out of town. But I just wanted to apologize again on his behalf.
No worries. I'm actually heading out of town too.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. One of my old work buddies got me some contract work out of town.
Okay.
Hopefully, it could bring in some revenue and maybe a. Maybe when I get back, we can throw a big barbecue like Wayne used to do.
Yeah, one of Wayne's old barbecues. Those were the days.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a new grill. He ruined the last one.
That's Wayne for you. Are you leaving tonight?
Or
in the morning?
Yeah, I got one last job to do for a customer. You know, Mr. Kurt.
Mr. Kurt,
he will haunt me long after he leaves, as we will anyone else.
He haunts me every morning, except for he's not a ghost and I can't banish him.
That's true.
Well, my shift is over in about 30 minutes. If you don't mind, maybe you can walk me home?
No trouble. Yeah, the job I got to do is real quick. I can get that done, no problem. Sure.
You're quick. You got the fastest hands I ever seen. Can I get you something to eat? You're looking just too skinny, sir. Let me get you a sandwich or something, please.
Fine, fine. You know me. Breakfast for dinner.
Breakfast for dinner. I know. Okay, I'm going to get your favorite.
So, two fried eggs and some bacon, buttered biscuits, and a coffee with way too much cream and sugar in it.
Mm-hmm. And she gets exactly that. And it comes out in about 15 to 20 minutes. And soon enough, she's like cleaning up and her shift is over. And she comes to kind of like sit next to you as you're like finishing up your food. And she has her coffee that she ordered to go and just sitting with you. And you guys are just chatting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Elias doesn't give any details about the job. Just saying, mm-hmm. you know, his big corporate suit friend gave him
yeah.
a good job. It's going to pay well.
And she puts her hand on your shoulder and she says, you know, I'm just happy you're getting out of town. You know, sometimes it's nice to just see new places.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Alice.
Yeah.
While I'm gone, do you mind just checking the shop, just making sure no kids do no vandalizing or nothing?
Of course. You know? Of course. Yeah, I'll check in on it on my way to work.
Thank you. I'm gonna leave a spare set of keys so you can just, if anything turns on, I'll make sure everything's shut off. But if anything happens to click on, or if someone comes by, like I got a new air conditioner put in. If you need to cool off or for anything, I know it's a short walk. If you need some peace from Mr. Kurt and the lack, then his
ill. Of course, of course. You got an air conditioner, okay, Mr. Fancy?
He looks at he's she. He, his heart wells up when he hears that, but then he looks how much of a mess he is.
<He's> yeah. Like,
you couldn't be further from the truth, Miss Alice.
No. It's nice to talk to you again, Elias. Truly.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start walking and talking before it gets too late?
Yeah,
I don't want Teddy to have an excuse to get another busted lip.
No. Teddy, he's out of town for the next few days, so I'm taking the time getting some peace in, if you know what I mean.
Mm. All the more reason to use that air conditioner.
Of course, of course. And you end up walking her home. It's a few blocks. So you're kind of just following her. And we're going to transition as you're taking your time with Alice. Who else has some, you know, who else would like to go next?
I have, well, Emma Jane has one loose end to tie up before she goes.
Mm-hmm.
So she rushes home as fast as she can. And puts on her Neurocaster. She needs to speak to Bolo. He's just one of the people that she's in contact with through the Neuroscape.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So she sort of gets into place. And it's kind of like she's standing in like a white room with a load of filing cabinets from like floor to ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are filled. But whenever she reaches out her hand to one, the cabinet opens and sort of like papers like go to her. So sort of as she scrambles and sits down, she reaches out her hand to grab a new sheet and starts writing. Bolo, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, that mark you asked me to get. I've got some info for you. You ready?
Oh, damn, that was fast. One second. Yeah.
I don't have all day.
Wait. Sorry. And you hear like the flush of a toilet in the background.
Are you? Oh, for fuck's sake!
I'm sorry. This is what my mom said about multitasking. If you know what I mean.
I'm gonna start giving you your details in 5 seconds. You better be.
You
writing.
Got it. You got
Are
it.
You
sorry.
Ready?
And
name.
You know he didn't wash his hands. Yep.
Name: Malcolm Wren. Age: 45. He's divorced. Yes. Seems kind of lonely. Has a cat called Darla.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. I think try a couple of passwords with Darla in it.
Okay.
You should be able to get something out of that. He is going to Pacifica. Didn't get dates. We don't need dates. We can work around that, right?
We can look at, thank you for the information. We can look up when he's leaving. Yeah. You got it.
He's meeting a guy called Quinn. Young guy. Not quite sure what he looks like. He's super into tech. But he works for the Vanadium substation.
He works at the Vanadium substation. They got a whole bunch of those in Pacifica. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're looking for a guy called Quinn.
Quinn. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
That's all you got? Yeah, that's all I got.
I mean, you're usually better than this. Yeah, you step up your game, man.
Step up my game.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, you barely gave me anything there.
All right, okay, fine. Fuck it, I'll step up my game. You remember Daniel Collins?
Yeah. That was a good get.
Yeah. So, he wants me to work a job with him.
I mean, yeah, do it. Does it get you closer to him?
Of course it gets me closer to him. Obviously, I'm going to fucking do it. But that's unimportant. The fact that we're on this job is unimportant. The important part is that it's to do with Happy Cool.
No fucking way.
Yeah. Fucking Happy Cool.
God damn, I've been trying to get into Happy Cool for the past year.
Yeah, See? I don't give you nothing, huh? I don't give you nothing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Fucking Happy Cool.
Making me eat my words. Jeez.
Anyway, I'm gonna be gone for a while whilst I get this job quit.
How long?
A week is the max. Okay. I can't give you details. But we have about a week. Okay. I'm not gonna be as easily accessible, okay? I'll try and get on where I can and try and give you updates.
Okay.
If you could store them for me.
Yeah, but you're gonna have to reach me. Can you reach me?
I'm bringing the Neurocaster. I don't have.
Okay. Okay, well then I'll reach you. You know, I got it. I know how to do it.
And this is why you're the one I come to, right?
Yep. And you start to hear like his mouth is starting to get like full. And he starts eating. Is there anything else you need?
Yeah, one last thing. So
And you seem like you're slurping.
her eye kind of like twitches in irritation. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So Daniel knows that I spilled to Sentry. That's semi-important. I can talk him around. I think I can sort of keep him on board until we part ways. The problem is once this job is done, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tap any more info from him.
You're slurping. Yeah. Wait. You see, hear him like spit out food. What? This was Daniel Collins. We're talking. Do whatever you can to stay on his good side.
God damn. But then I need more information.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, stay on his good side then. Do your job.
Not from him, Bolo. Not from him. I need information.
Ooh. From about, who?
About the cure, about anyone from Sentry. Anything I can give him to drip feed him.
I see. Well, let me look into this.
I don't need it now. I just, when I check in, I need some stuff ready to go, okay?
Yeah. Let me look into, what was his face? What was his name again? You just told me it. Sorry. I wrote it down. I swear to God, I wrote it down.
You are Malcolm or Daniel? Which one?
Malcolm. There we go, Malcolm. Yep.
Malcolm Wren, you got it?
Yep. Sorry.
Okay.
My hands were wet.
I don't want to know if your hands were fucking wet. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
I'll try and check in where I can. But this is fucking big, Bolo.
We can finally get like a larger team. I've been stressed over here. I'm going to send you a picture of something that's been growing behind my neck.
You don't need to send. I understand. Fuck's sake. Look.
I'm saying I need help. That's all I'm saying. I'm stressed. I'm growing like dress creatures on the back of my
Okay, neck. Well, when we get this job over and done with, you can have many, many servants who can look over the many growths coming off your back, all right? This is fucking serious, okay?
You're damn right it is. Okay, Malcolm Wren, is that with one N or two N's or three N's? How many N's is there?
He kind of said it like it was one N, but he's one of those fancy
he
types.
He said it like it was two. One? Did he?
He tell said
him?
It like it...
How does someone say their type. Name like it has a certain amount of letters? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I mean, you can go and chat to him if you like.
I can't. You know, my knee's messed up. I can't...
Yeah, always the knee, huh? Always the knee.
Yeah, I told you I tripped.
Again?
Anyway, I'm...
Yeah, that's why you stay behind the screen, huh?
Yeah,
so, yeah, just basically take down any information that I give you. Have some to give back to me. I'll check in when I can, all right?
Yeah. And if I don't hear from you, like, every other day, I'll know that you're dead. And then I'll need to find another pretty woman with the dirty mouth.
You ain't never gonna find someone else like me, Bolo.
If I put my mind to it...
Well, good job is working for me then, huh?
Okay. Well, thank you for the information. I'm going to look it up. This is good. We got good stuff. Don't mess it up.
with the Collins guy.
I'm not going to mess it up, but you've got my back, yeah?
Of course I got your back, as much as this thing has on my back.
Thanks, Polo. I'll speak to you when I can.
Annie, you hear him blow a kiss through the phone.
Ugh, before she like...
You love me.
I'm going now.
He slurps his noodles. But yeah, bye. Keep in touch. Hangs up.
Uh-huh.
Kind of wet hand slaps the phone off. And speaking of Vincent, Mr. Aldrich, where is he headed?
Yeah, knowing that a lot of people are going to be in his car, he kind of looks back at all the trash and some of the bills, slaps close the side drawer. You know what, Rhonda? We gotta clean this place up, especially since now we got ourselves a customer for a lot of that.
See, Rhonda's doing that thing that dogs do, like, right before they're about to use the bathroom.
No, Rhonda, like, Rhonda.
Her body's doing that twirl around.
And the car kind of swerves.
You see, like, the poop stance is happening in the car.
We quickly turn into a parking lot, and he kind of reaches over to open the door. Rhonda, please.
Good. Give me an agility roll to see if this... All right.
No successes.
Oh.
I like to think he kind of fumbles with the door, sees it's locked. Like, no.
Would you like to push it?
Ooh. Yes, I would. So, you know, okay. He kind of unbuckles his seatbelt and jumps forward to try to grab the lock and pull that up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'll re-roll, and I got two successes. So in one swift movement, luckily he's got his foot on the brake, but he just pulls the lock up and pushes the door open. Rhonda, please.
So you do that quickly. You also lose one hope. You rolled a one on that push as well. Gotcha. But you're able to get Rhonda. You're super quick. You see, like, the body, you know, the body's like curl up into like that stance where you're like, oh, they're about to poop. But you like grab her as soon as, and you pull over like right next to like a dingy like park area that's mostly dirt and like patches of grass. And you're able to like quickly get her onto some dirt.
Oh, okay. All right, Rhonda, you do your business and. Oh, God. All right, I'm going to go do mine, and I kind of think to... Yeah. Now that Alas has to look over this car, I'm going to pop open the trunk and kind of feel around the edges and pull out a Nurine canister. Time to move some of these around.
Mm-hmm.
Not all these hiding spaces are as secretive as they should be. So over the course of the time while Rhonda's doing her business, I take the ones out. I leave my jacket down, kind of look down underneath the chassis, remove one, and then I put the keys in the ignition. I feel like this is going to be a long day, so I start it up to get it idling, put in a CD of a Rock Band, and kind of crank the AC for when Rhonda hops back in as I open up the doors, kind of pull at some of the upholstery. It takes me a bit.
A quick question for you. What is in the back of this car? Like, what items? You said you're moving around some Nurine cast... some Nurine bottles and things like that. How many is in there?
So there's about five. So there's one kind of in the engine. So he's taking these little metal cartridges. There was one under the chassis. One was in the glove compartment. He kind of shakes his head for saying that out loud to Emma Jane. So he takes that out. One was under Rhonda's dog bed in the back trunk. And he kind of sweeps out a lot of the old takeout boxes and kind of sweeps those out onto the empty playground dirt. Just clearing out everything.
You hear some movement behind you.
Rhonda, is that you?
And you see, like, there's three men, and they look like they came from, like, a forested area, some bushy areas from the park. And they go, oh, hey there, friend. Hey,
gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Hey, you can call me Johnny. Hi. And this is my friend Squid.
Hey, Squid. Hey, Johnny.
And we call him Echo.
Echo. Oh, that's a fancy name right there.
And you see him, he's like rubbing his shoulder as he's kind of swaying back and forth. He goes, hey, you got any water back there, friend? You get anything you can spare?
Fresh out, but I see there's a drinking fountain over there, friend, you know?
No, it doesn't work anymore.
Friend, I insist you go to the drinking fountain.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Let me show you. Let me show you how it doesn't work.
I'm quite happy right here. I think you and your friends should go down there.
And you see the two friends dash towards you. Can I get you to roll a wits roll, please?
Yes.
You're trying to be quick here.
Oh my god.
I will push this roll. So I didn't expect his two friends to run. I expected Johnny to run. So it's a little taken back that the two people by his sides, but yep. I like to push it.
Go ahead.
And lose one hole. I figure I'm a little more worried about the Nurine staff, so I kind of tuck that into my shirt pocket. And I'm not ready for those guys.
They rush towards you. I'm going to roll for them. All three of them. Roll. I got two successes. Two of the men are holding on to your arms. The one who was asking for water starts to rummage to the back of your car.
Grand, all you're going to find are takeout receipts and a couple empty dog food cans, I swear.
Hey, listen. We just wanted someone to be nice to us, especially in these dark times. So you wouldn't mind if I just check your pockets? You got any cash on you? We're mighty hungry as well.
All right. Okay. At least loosen your grip a bit. Tell your friends to loosen up. I'll get you that money.
I'm just so afraid that if they let go of you, then you'll run away.
Hey, man, I'm not one for math, but come on, three guys against one, and hell, this car, I'm not even in it. Where am I going to go?
You just hold it right there, buddy. Let me just check your pockets. I'll be so quick. And he goes to check your back pockets and your front pockets. What does he pull out?
He does pull out some scratch tickets for the lottery. All of them pretty failed. He pulls out a wad of probably cash that I've kept in my pocket, about 280, kind of wrapped up from the race. And then probably a few loose neurine canisters.
He takes all of it. He goes, "Oh, this is just perfect, friend. You've been, this is mighty kind of you. And I'll take this as a gift and a present. And that's a cute dog you got there. I'm guessing she's yours."
Could be.
"Well, I hate to see a stray dog."
"If you dare do that, we're going to have a bigger problem than you just stealing my shit."
"Would you like to try to break out?"
"Yeah, I'd like to headbutt him."
Go ahead.
All right. Would that be a strength roll?
It would be strength, yep. So it's unarmed. You're just using your strength here.
Gotcha.
Kick his ass, Vincent.
Definitely can't reach him with his two friends. I think I will push it though, because he's stolen a lot from me today.
Push you guys. Go ahead.
Just can't do it. But lose the hope.
Oh no.
You try to bust it. He goes, "Oh, hey there. We didn't say we were going to take your dog. We're not cruel. We're not inhumane. We're just regular people trying to get by."
Yeah.
"You understand?"
"Yeah, I understand."
"You understand." And the friends, they push you. And he takes three of the neuro canisters.
Gotcha.
Tosses two of them. Listen. We're gracious. We won't take all of it." He tosses two at you as you kind of like fall back into the trunk of your car. "Thank you. So kind." And one of them goes to kind of like ruffle. You see his hand go to like ruffle the head of Rhonda, and she growls at him. Whoa. "Got you a guard dog there."
Yeah, I do. I'd like to keep it, too.
Yeah. "You've been a smart man." And you see him, like, pull out a knife that he had. "So glad I didn't have to use this. So glad we came to an agreement."
Yeah. Guess we have.
"You have a good day."
"You as well."
And they kind of run off back to, like,
the bushes, the little forested area that they popped out of.
Just when I think my luck turns around, stuff like this happens. Rhonda, hurry in the car. I think we'll get this thing cleaned up elsewhere.
She hops into the car at your word. And, what's his thoughts? Where are you driving to now?
Definitely, he's white knuckle gripped on the steering wheel, trying to think of how to get this thing cleaned. He kind of pulls into the car, the parking lot of the casino, looks at the lights a bit.
Yeah.
Before kind of pulling it over and digging in the back, finding an old thing of Windex and some of the napkins used by the casino to kind of clean up as best he can the rest of it. And I think he'd find the last two urine canisters, one underneath like the interior light, kind of pulls.
Yeah.
He pulls down the light just to make sure it's in there before kind of pushing it back in place. And then the other is just in the upholstery of his driver's seat. He kind of pulls on the threading just to make sure it's nestled in there and hasn't fallen down.
We are going to kind of montage. As you have gotten all your affairs in order as best as you could, you talked to your friend Bolo, got that ready. Elias, talk to Alice, go back to your shop, finish working up and, you know, get packing everything that you need. You have your brother's walkie-talkie, yes?
Yeah, he would not leave without it.
So you have that packed. Vincent, you have the car cleaned as best as possible. Everything for Rhonda is ready. And Daniel, you talked to your ex-wife. You did your best. And now it's just, we'll see what happens from here. As we transition to the next day, you get the call from Marshall Calloway confirming that you all are ready. He calls you, Daniel.
Good morning. Mr. Calloway.
Good morning, Mr. Collins. It's about to be 6 a.m. It's almost time to head out.
We should be meeting up soon, and we should be ready to go.
Okay. Just know that your comms will be down for the next few hours. Okay? So hopefully you talk to everybody that you need to.
I got my business taken care of. I'm hoping all the others did as well.
Okay. And again, good luck to you and your team, sir.
I appreciate it. We'll do the South Republic proud.
For the Republic. And he hangs up. You guys eventually all meet, about to head out onto the highway. So I'm guessing Vincent is driving. Where is everybody sitting?
I feel like Emma Jane would definitely take a back seat. Probably behind Vincent, so she can kind of have like a good eye on everybody from that spot.
Okay. Who's sitting shotgun? Who's sitting in the passenger?
Would Elias be up there, like, checking out the dash and...
I would say Elias would be like, if I may, could be a potential co-pilot here just in case so I can see the gauges so that our master driver can keep an eye on the road. I'll keep an eye on his rig.
I like the sound of that, master driver. Between the two of us, Elias, we'll get everybody there safe and sound.
And Rhonda is sitting between Emma Jane and Daniel.
I hope you guys aren't allergic to pet dander. Rhonda here is gonna be going up with us for the trip.
The whole time.
Mm-hmm. But she's quite well trained.
Does she still do that trick with her nose, where you can leave the treat on her nose?
I tried that once. She's a little finicky, you know. Finnish spits, they're a little hard to train, but
challenge accepted.
All righty. I like that. We're gonna have her doing cartwheels by the end of this trip.
I'm scratching her in the back and just kind of like look over at Emma Jane like, oh, shocker, doesn't like dogs either, huh?
You know what they say, Mr. Collins, Daniel, people that don't like dogs just haven't met a good one yet.
And I can assure you, Emma Jane, Rhonda's the best one.
Yeah, no, it's not that I don't like dogs. It's just this one's very... She's sort of like leaning away. It's like Rhonda sort of like investigates her.
Yeah, yeah.
No, she's inquisitive, isn't she? And she sort of gives like a tentative pat on the head.
She's very much like kind of in your business, like sniffing around. Mm. That nose is moving fast.
much like somebody else I know.
Andy, I forget you had a sense of humor.
So, who wants to pick the soundtrack for our little journey? I got a few CDs, a bit scratched, but some good bands nonetheless.
I should, turn, and face the window and stare out.
Daniel, do you got a preference?
Yeah, you got anything by The Verve? That Bittersweet Symphony, that's the one that I like.
Oh, yeah, I do. It's been used quite a bit, but it still plays that song true. It'll kind of open up a little carousel of CDs in a little soft binder before pulling that out and putting it in.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
You put in the song. You put in the CD. Song starts playing. You start the car, and you guys are off. Somewhere back in Austin, a missed call goes to voicemail. We see Julia slouched in a cold plastic chair in the rec room of that care facility. She's hugging her knees to her chest. She's holding a clunky landline phone to her ear. And across from her, she's watching as her mother is at the care facility making a ruckus. Ashley, her hair is unbrushed, her eyes are sunken, her voice is sharp and impatient as she argues with the front desk and yelling. Julia just kind of stares ahead and she whispers into the phone, and you can hear her trembling voice as she's swaying back and forth.
Dad, if you get this, can you call me back? I think she's trying to take me home, but I don't want to go. She is scaring me. I just, please don't let her take me.
And then you hear a nurse saying that she's not supposed to be using the phone. You hear it from afar, and the phone, and then you hear the click as it hangs up. And that's where we're going to end episode 2.
Fucking ass.
Thanks for listening to the Electric State Operation Firewall. I'm Maia, the game master and narrator for this series. This story features Meg as Emma Jane, Michael as Elias, Arcturus as Vincent, and Todd as Daniel. Please subscribe, leave a review, or even drop a comment if you're feeling generous. It helps out more than you know. We'll see you next time on the road.